Welcome to Care to Lead, your path to leadership success. Brought to you by the Vizient Nurse Executives Network.
Hello, everyone. I'm Dr. Barbara Seymour, Associate Vice President of Member Connections at Vizient. And today's guest is Dr. Deb Zimmerman, Chief Executive Officer of the DAISY Foundation, an organization dedicated to showing gratitude for extraordinary nurses internationally. Prior to joining DAISY, Deb served in the U.S. Army Nurse Corps, practiced as a nurse practitioner, and for 25 years served in CNO positions in New York and Virginia. She is the president-elect of the American Organization of Nurse Leaders and a fellow of the American Academy of Nursing. Welcome, Dr. Zimmerman.
Oh, thank you, Barbara. Please call me Deb.
Oh, thank you. And thank you for your service. I'm the mom of a Marine, so I always want to take the opportunity to say thank you. I'd love if you would share your nursing leadership journey with our listeners and tell us what drew you to your role with the DAISY Foundation.
Well, nursing is my passion. I am the eldest of four children and the daughter of a registered nurse. I knew from a young age that nursing was my calling. I regularly would talk to my mom about her patients and about the different specialties within the profession. When I was a teenager, I remember reading about Loretta Ford at the University of Colorado and how she was creating new roles for nurses and pushing the envelope in practice. I remember bringing the article to my mom and then sitting down with my mom and the relatives who are also nurses to discuss where I should apply. And although my mother was a diploma graduate, she believed that the profession was moving towards baccalaureate preparation and that was the degree that I should obtain. She also believed that I should begin my clinical rotations in my first year, which is really next to impossible. But my family chose a college on the border of New York and Canada, and off I went. With four children in my family could only provide moral and not financial support. So in 1976, when women were admitted into the military academies, they also offered ROTC scholarships that were for women. And I accepted a scholarship. So upon graduation, I began my nursing career as an Army nurse. The military was foundational for both my nursing practice and my leadership. As a young officer, I was given opportunities to lead and really advance my practice. So after 4 years of active duty, my husband, daughter, and I moved to Rochester, New York. Loretta Ford had moved to the University of Rochester to become the chief nursing officer and dean of the School of Nursing. So that is where I was going to go. So for 23 years, I practiced as a nurse practitioner and a leader. For many years, I balanced both practice and leadership. I found great joy in caring for patients and interfacing with clinical nurses as a practitioner. As a chief nursing officer, I had to make a choice. I had to decide between direct patient care and leadership. So I chose to become a chief nursing officer and stay as a leader. I served as a chief nursing officer in Rochester, New York, and in Richmond, Virginia. In both cities, I worked with incredible clinicians who used their knowledge and expertise to improve and raise up the health of their communities. They made a difference in the lives of their patients, and it truly was my honor to work with these teams. Early in my tenure as a chief nursing officer in Virginia, the nurses asked to bring DAISY to the organization, and I really didn't know much about DAISY, but what the nurses said is that they wanted a mechanism for nurses to receive feedback from patients, families, and colleagues for their direct care. It was an easy yes. So I saw firsthand the magic of DAISY and how the feedback from patients and families could create a culture of gratitude. The DAISY Award became the most revered recognition because it came from those that mattered most, their patients. It validated for new nurses that they chose a career that was making a difference in the lives of their patients. For more senior nurses who received this recognition, it was a reminder that they really were making a difference. The feedback from patients and families nourished their soul and built resilience for those tough days that we know every nurse experiences. Over the next decade, I had the opportunity to thank the DAISY founders, Bonnie and Mark Barnes, and I would share with them how the essence of Patrick is renewed at every DAISY celebration. I am so grateful to the Barnes family for creating meaningful, authentic, and highly personal acknowledgement of the impact of nurses' care. When Bonnie and Mark asked me to become a board member about 5 years ago, I was honored and of course said yes. When they asked if I would become their CEO 2 years ago, I was actually floored and again said yes.
You have such an incredible story. I love hearing your progression through nursing from very early and especially the connection to Bonnie and Mark. We know the Daisy Foundation has a fantastic story and why the Barnes family wanted to embark on this journey of recognizing nurses. So now as the CEO of the Daisy Foundation, that you can see how this impacts people globally. How have you seen this recognition have a positive impact on nurses and their well-being?
It is really a phenomenal story. And if you will allow me to just remind everybody how it was created.
Of course.
In 1999, in memory of the extraordinary nursing care provided to their son, Patrick Barnes, who passed away after his 8-week hospitalization from an autoimmune disease called idiopathic thrombocytopenic purpura, the family wanted to honor the life of Patrick and also honor the nursing care that they received. They created the DAISY Award, which DAISY stands for Diseases Attacking the Immune System. They created the award thinking that the award would be recognized potentially only in 10 hospitals. And then when they saw the impact in 10 hospitals, it grew to 100 hospitals. And then they thought, oh, wow, it would be just wonderful if nurses could be recognized with the DAISY Award in 1,000 hospitals. Well, now, DAISY partners with over 6,000 healthcare organizations and schools of nursing in over 41 countries. Over 180,000 nurses have been honored, and over 2.5 million nurses have received expressions of gratitude from families, patients, and colleagues. The DAISY Award celebrates individual clinical excellence, nurse-led teams, leaders for creating a thriving environment, nurses advancing health equity, nurse educators who inspire, and even nursing students. In 2005, the American Association of Critical Care Nurses identified 6 elements for a healthy work environment: communication, collaboration, effective decision-making, authentic leadership, staffing, and meaningful recognition. I saw meaningful recognition in Virginia. I saw how that feedback could create a culture of gratitude. Feedback from patients, families, and colleagues verifies a nurse's impact and builds what the researchers have called compassion satisfaction. For example, Vicki Waddell is a senior nurse who received a DAISY Award early in her career. And I saw her post on social media when she received a second award. So I contacted her. And what she told me that she was, over the last year, feeling tired and thinking of retiring. And then she received her second DAISY Award. After receiving this second award, she realized that she had more to give. She was revitalized. And I stay in touch with her. And she is still in practice and she is thriving. Meaningful recognition creates the reserve. It builds a culture of gratitude. It enhances teamwork. It is associated with higher levels of retention. It reduces burnout. And it also creates a culture of innovation, which is something that we really, really need now. Meaningful recognition is not fluff. When I went into nursing, I really didn't think it was important. The American Association of Critical Care Nursing, they studied it in 2005, in 2016, and again in 2021. Meaningful recognition is vital. We know that the last 4 years, that those elements that are necessary for a healthy work environment were rattled a little bit because of the pandemic. And in order to recover and treat and address the pandemic, we had to act differently. And all of those elements were not necessarily in place. So what we are seeing that organizations that have reinstituted and continued to recognize nurses have reestablished those other elements for a healthy work environment are stabilizing the environment so nursing and healthcare can continue to survive. What we are seeing that the opportunity for patients and families to be able to share the attributes that are most important to them actually helps them with their healing process. Researchers have called this therapeutic reflection. It strengthens the relationship between healthcare and the healthcare organizations. The link between nursing and the public is vital and is needed for both the community and the profession.
Deb, we just finished a survey on chief nurse executive well-being and would love to see more work done for the well-being of our chief nursing officers as a subset of nurses. As you're entering your tenure as the president of the AONL, what do you see on the horizon for nurse well-being, especially for our nursing leaders and executives?
The challenges over the last 4 years have truly been unprecedented. Nursing leaders have led the response to the pandemic and are now addressing workforce and financial challenges. Nurse leaders often place their own well-being last. Our studies have suggested the leaders who need the most support right now are our frontline leaders, our nurse managers. We found that the leaders most stressed over the last few years are our nurse managers. They told us that they feel unappreciated, overworked, tired, and are not in an emotionally healthy space. So AONL and DAISY have collaborated to recognize these frontline leaders. We've developed a toolkit to make it easy for healthcare organization to recognize the profound contributions that they make. And our goal is now to redesign that frontline leader role so that they have spans of control, which will allow them to spend time on the work that they find most joyful. They love mentoring, coaching, leading their teams, and that is what our nurses on the front line want. So that's our primary focus, and we are joining with the American Hospital Association and will be coming out with those recommendations over the next year. We want nurses to find the joy, and then we will focus on the redesign of the models of care and all of the other work that we know is so needed to raise up the health and wellness of our communities.
I love to hear you talk about joy at work, and I know this dovetails into your passion around positively impacting the public perception of nurses and how that's connected to professional well-being. As we close, how can nurses and nursing leaders play a part in shaping that public perception and the well-being of nursing?
Oh, my favorite question. You are absolutely right, Barbara. As a profession based in science, we're taught to think and act according to a specific problem. We learn to document from a problem-oriented perspective. We learn how to ask a patient about a problem 5 different ways so that we can develop the best plan of care. In other words, we look at the world from a negative lens. In what other profession is there that we're invited by strangers to intimately share in life's most personal events? As nurses, we have the privilege of untold measure that comes with shepherding humanity through its most vulnerable moments. We have a profound impact, and the bond between nursing and patients, it's our purpose. So much of nursing is positive. This is our purpose, to make a difference in the lives of patients and their families. As nurses, we practice to fulfill this purpose, and we must support the work that brings joy and ties to purpose. And we must bring to ourselves, and we must bring to the public, the difference that nurses make. The public values nursing for its specialized knowledge, skill, and caring. We have a social contract in which we're granted privilege and in turn held accountable to the public. The more that we can shine a light on the extraordinary work of nurses and share exemplars with the public, we create a culture that applauds acts of kindness and promotes a culture of compassion. The connection between the public and the profession is essential. A strong bond strengthens the profession and raises the health of our community. The public expects us to do this. Nursing has a responsibility to help change the narrative because our social contract is with the public.
So beautifully stated. What a great way to close. It has been such a pleasure having you as our guest today. And thank you for all you do to shine a light on that and provide meaningful recognition to nurses.
Well, it is my great honor, Barbara. I am so delighted and honored that you asked me to chat with you today and your listeners.
Thank you. And to our listeners, thank you for joining us. If you enjoyed today's discussion, please subscribe to hear more Care to Lead podcasts. Like us and send us your comments. Care to Lead is your path to success and is brought to you by the Vizient Nurse Executives Network. I'm Barbara Seymour. Have a great day.